Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and you're listening to BoxBox F1 Pod. Today, we're doing a bit of a prep for the Qatar Grand Prix, but first, it's time for our digital warm-up.
Lap one, the Mercedes versus Red Bull drama continues.
Just to summarize, in case you guys forgot, last week at the Brazilian Grand Prix, there was an incident in lap 48-ish when Max may have pushed Lewis off track, where they both lost road and they had both had to go wide. Mercedes obviously thought that Max pushed him off. The FIA had ruled at the time that there was nothing to even investigate. Later, it became apparent that they didn't have all of the video footage necessary to make this decision, even though they made it anyway. So Mercedes requested to re-review the Max incident.
Yes, and then the FIA promptly rejected their request to review, which Toto and Christian both found out about that ruling halfway through their press conference.
Which, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an entire episode for this of Drive to Survive dedicated to this press conference. It was dramatic. They said a lot of interesting stuff. But before we talk about them, I do want to say that Lewis was also asked what he thought of the footage being released now and how he reflects on the incident now that he's seen it. And Lewis literally just said, "I won."
We're in the middle of a triple header. It's like we don't have time to just squabble.
Some people do, apparently. Particularly Toto and Christian. I mean, I agree with Lewis. You won. Like, let's move on.
Yeah. But Toto believes it's about the principle.
Is that surprising in any way that he did this for the principle and the philosophy of it rather than to gain anything?
No. And I get his point. Like, it sets a bad precedent to allow kind of like aggressive driving and also to allow the FIA to be super inconsistent. But it looks petty.
It looks very petty. Especially when Christian is calling you petty, you might be being a bit petty.
You need an intervention if Christian is calling you petty. Hit rock bottom.
Christian described the protest as it feels a bit spurious, which I had to Google because that's an aggressive word for a press conference. In case you don't know what that means, it means not being what it purports to be, false or fake. One thing that they got asked a lot about FIA protests and what they're going to do about protesting in the future and how the FIA handles everything. And one of the questions asked by the Daily Mail was, do you believe you're both running legal engines and wings? Which, to me, sounds like the dumbest question you could possibly ask someone. That's like asking a criminal, do you commit crimes? What are they going to do? Say yes. Obviously.
And they are tested.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, like, inspected, so how could they get away with it, really?
Right, so anytime they break the rules, they're basically saying it's an accident, and that it's never intentional. Well, Toto said that it's very transparent. You'd be crazy to, like, try to do anything illegal. But as for whether Red Bull's going to protest the wing, Christian said that he probably would, depending on what happened in Qatar. Whereas Toto was saying that the wing was just broken. And not illegal. Who knows? The juiciest part of the press conference was when they kept getting questions about their relationship. And they keep referencing a dinner that's never fucking happened. Like, last week or 2 weeks ago, Toto was asked about their relationship. He's like, I'm not going to dinner with Christian anytime soon. And then Christian was asked about what he thinks about their relationship. And he said, there's respect for everything Mercedes has done, everything Lewis Hamilton has done. But I don't need to go to dinner with Toto. I don't need to kiss his ass or anything like that. There are a few other team principals that might, but from my perspective, it's competition. Then again, the New York Times this time asked, where does this dislike for each other stem from? And Toto said, the competition is too high. You cannot be expecting to go to dinner with your rival. And I'm just confused about this dinner metaphor. Like, did they both try to plan a dinner and then no one showed up and they blamed the other person and they're holding this dinner grudge? Because you can do other stuff with people.
You could go to coffee.
Yeah, you could
Go to lunch.
You could grab a drink.
Yeah, dinner is quite intimate, and no one expects two team principals to be intimate with one another.
That would be quite the drama where that could be the case.
Yeah, dinner is a lot.
Dinner is a lot.
I think going to a pub is a good start for a friendly banter.
Yeah, Max and Lewis. Lewis had said at one point that maybe one day I'll grab a beer with Max, and Max didn't seem to really respond to that. But that at least is a normal activity. Yeah. I don't know why they're so obsessed with dinner and why that's the proof that they don't have a relationship. Like, why would we go to dinner? Well, no one wants you to go to dinner.
Well, I'm sure the drama will continue this weekend. All right, lap two, box, box, inbox. First, we got some clarification from something that was brought up in our last episode where Max said in a press conference that when he wins a world championship, he'll get the number one instead of his 33. He didn't just make that up in his head. It's actually offered by the FIA to anyone who wins the world championship. Lewis just never took that opportunity, and Nico retired ASAP after he won. So Max might take the FIA up on that.
Yeah, if he wins.
He could this year, but he for sure will.
I read this year that he has an 80% chance.
Okay, so we also surprisingly got our first fan art. And it's beautiful.
I was so excited when I saw it. It was made by...
out of nowhere.
Literally nowhere. We had no idea this was coming. If we knew, we wouldn't have reprinted.
Yes. But it was really cool because, well, it's the two boxes with the headphones and mics, which is like our logo. And then, but the boxes are on top of a waving checkered flag. And then there's a waveform in the background that's based on our actual intro for the pod.
Yeah. She took the, so she like saved it and took it, found the waveform. That's like
a lot impressive. Of work.
Yeah, that's really impressive. It's so cool. We never thought of that.
It's bespoke AF.
Yeah. I do love it a lot.
Too. Thank you.
Yes. It was made by Candid Hay, who makes a lot of art.
All right. Lap three, Qatar Race Week. There's nighttime track walks and social activism afoot, including Lewis's helmet.
Yes. I'm sure we'll see something from, who's the other one?
Seb.
I'm sure we'll see something from Seb still, yeah. But Lewis had a rainbow helmet and made a statement that when you come to these places, you really have to raise awareness, which is a very good point.
Yes, and he has three races to do that for.
They're really taking a tour of all the places that give zero flying fucks about human rights.
Rights out and away we go.
I forgot. All right, so there was one of the only interesting things from the press conferences. It's not even interesting, but it was kind of funny. Daniel was told by the guy who leads the press conferences that honey badgers are indigenous to this part of the world, which I did not know Qatar was known for their honey badgers. Okay.
I assumed like Australia.
Yeah.
And I thought that's why he liked them so much.
No, there was a different reason because they like do something and then that energy is channeled in the car. I can't remember exactly, but not because
they like aggressively destroy their enemies, but are very cute.
Yes, which describes Daniel to a T.
Oh yeah, that's his reputation,
destroying enemies left and right. But
it's an aspirational spirit animal.
It is. He actually called it his spirit animal. And then he asked the guy, he's like, does that mean I'll see one? And the guy goes, I don't know. I was just asking the question. Like, have a conversation at least. Like, I don't think Daniel was literally asking if he was going to see a honey badger, but this man cannot carry a conversation.
The man could have said maybe because they're indigenous, but he was just like, I can't promise anything.
Yeah. Well, Daniel actually did have a jokey go at him. Was like, why do you hate me today?
The man hates everyone every day.
He really does. He does not have the greatest job. Daniel then proceeded to say, "My dream is to walk into the paddock with a honey badger on a leash." And Esteban just goes, "Poor him."
Poor Daniel.
No, poor that. Honey badger.
Well, I say poor Daniel for that being his dream.
Well,
he's clearly given up on the championship. Remember, do you remember at a time he thought he could be a world champion?
Yeah, well, he's clearly gotten more realistic expectations.
He hopes to see honey badgers in a country where they're indigenous and hopes to find a leash nearby.
If there's any country where you can leash a wild, free animal. Okay, so this is just like a general observation, but all of the questions from the children were like really negative and like kind of savage. Daniel and Esteban's question was, "What is it like to pursue a career in F1 when no one supports you?"
That could not have come from a child.
It did. Oh, you think it was fed to him?
Yeah, I think this MC is
finding local children and slipping them cue cards.
Yes.
This one wasn't me, but it was just, "Who is your biggest rival?" Which they both looked appalled at the question. Lance and Pierre got asked that, and they both looked like, "Why would you ask me that?"
Well, yeah, like to ask them to call someone out by name.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Pierre was like, "Oh, it's probably like Alpine or whatever." And the MC guy's like, "So you're saying it's not Yuki?" And Pierre was like, "No." I'm not saying that.
Yikes.
I know. He really is. He gave a more diplomatic answer. He's like, "Oh, no, maybe sometimes, but this year I don't really think so." Because he said that Yuki's new to F1. It was a nice answer, but also weird. The other question was, a child asked Fernando, "Why did you come back to F1 after all the bad luck you've had? Good luck."
There's no way. These are weird children.
They live in Qatar.
Yeah, they probably have a different perspective on life.
A more realistic perspective.
Okay, the children in Europe are like, "Does Charles Leclerc like eclairs?" And here they're like, "Have you considered a different direction in life?"
To be fair, still better questions than the ones the journalists are asking.
Oh, yeah. No matter what, the children always provide the entertainment.
Agreed. It was just slightly dark entertainment today.
Yeah.
Fernando just went, and then it was like a little audible dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Very awkward.
Yeah. Lap 4. I listened to the Bottas podcast for Beyond the Grid, and he is a fascinating man, and I could talk about him forever. But I'm just going to give a few highlights that were interesting. One, he got divorced in the last 2 years, which, from a woman who looks exactly like Tiffany.
Yeah, he clearly has a type.
Yes, Finnish.
Finnish, but like extremely pale, extremely light blonde.
Yes, and he basically went to Australia to find a Finn. She also introduced him to cycling, shocker, shocker, and he's become obsessed with it. But an interesting tidbit, he said, is that you're not allowed to, he can't overcycle, like he can't do too much endurance training because then it messes up his like F1 training, because then your speed and your agility and like your hand-eye coordination gets worse. Another interesting thing he said is that he's currently building a home in Finland, but like the topest point of Finland. Like the interviewer was like, "Oh, I've been in very like North Finland," and he's like, "Yeah, I'm 3 hours up from there." So it's like super obscure in the middle of nowhere. And then he said, and this says a lot about me, but there's only one bedroom in my house. I don't like guests.
Whoa. I mean, I don't find it surprising that he has that sentiment, but I'm like, why can't he have two bedrooms for himself? Like an office, you know?
I agree.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a bunch of rooms for guests, but I wonder how big it is. Maybe he just has like a huge living space.
like a little, yeah, or maybe just a tiny cabin with one bedroom. I don't know. He said it was for him and Tiffany and then his parents, but where are his parents sleeping? It's not like they can go to a hotel. He said it's the middle of like a tundra. Wow. I don't think it was very well thought out.
Very different than what I would like.
I understand the desire for less people in your home. Just don't invite them then.
Yes, and just keep all the space to yourself. Well, yeah. We'll have to see it.
What happens, yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Another huge thing they talked about was coffee, obviously. And apparently the interviewer said his face went super serious when they started talking about coffee. Like, he was, like, getting down to business. He has an average of 10 shots a day, which I guess for you.
I'm almost there.
But the interviewer made a good point. He was like, doesn't that interfere with your, like, isn't your personal trainer concerned for the amount of coffee you're consuming? And he was like, yeah, he kind of is. But, like, we've done the research. We worked out a schedule. I have 100
milligrams.
Milligrams. Think. I have 100 milligrams of café 45 minutes before a race. And that's his exact process. I guess they've tested how long before a race and how much he can have without it interfering.
Is it concerning because of the heart rate?
Yeah, well, it just makes you really jittery and, like, awake. So if you have too much, it would probably interfere with somewhere where you're supposed to be calm and very collected.
I guess Valtteri and I are the same because I feel like coffee just brings me to a level where I can interact with people. It doesn't make me jittery. It just makes me normal.
Coffee does nothing to me, like, at all. It doesn't even make me normal. Like, I feel zero when I drink.
You're high energy already.
I know you think I'm high energy, but, like, I'm not.
Well, I don't know how you wake up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I don't know how I wake up at 5 a.m. either. But when it's cold, I'm not... It's not like I'm jumping out of bed and be like, let me tackle the day. I'm, like, crawling out of bed and starting to... Maybe mentally I'm more awake. But yeah. Physically, I'm certainly quite immobile.
Now you know more about us.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone. they also had some serious conversations. A lot about mental health. And turns out we understand Valtteri approximately as well as he understands himself. He was under a lot of mental duress and stress, and his mental health was suffering a lot at Mercedes. And the biggest reason for that was because he was on a year-to-year contract. So he never had any security. He never had any, like, validation that, like, it's okay, I have time to, like, develop and learn, and et cetera, et cetera. He always felt like he was very short on time. And that really messed with his head to the point where he was like, my best season was 2014 with Williams. Oh. Like, that was the last time he remembers being happy.
2014 was over 6 years ago.
I know. And he didn't even win that season, I don't think. The interviewer was like floored. He was like, are you sure you mean 2014? And Valtteri was like, yeah, I was just confident and secure and comfortable and, like, all of these things, and it's just bleak.
That's so tragic.
I know. And then he said, so he didn't phrase it like this, but this is the way I interpret it. He basically was like, every year I'd obviously have to have renegotiations with Toto. And as expected, Toto is a very, very difficult negotiator. He's really hard to find a middle ground with. And every time he would be like, I think I would perform better if I had, like, a multi-year contract, Toto would shoot it down, basically, and said he thinks diamonds are made under pressure.
Well, I'm glad he found an exit plan, and
yeah,
it's probably a good time to exit his relationship with Toto, because he's becoming more unhinged by the minute.
Well, he said he's still very good friends with Toto, and that his moving will not damage their friendship at all, and I'm like, do you want to be friends with him? I guess he'll be a better friend when he's not your boss, and telling you how to handle stressful situations.
I bet they'll actually grab a beer. Dinner, even.
I think they're at dinner level. I'm not sure.
They're intimate friends.
They are. Anyway, it was very sad. Like, he kept trying to have, like, a hopeful perspective, but, like, it all came back down to the fact that he was just incredibly unhappy and stressed. And, like, I think his tipping point was in Sochi last year when he had to let Lewis pass so he could win.
Yeah.
And he was like, that was one of the hardest experiences of my life, and I just couldn't really get back from it. Because it went against that. It didn't feel natural. It was just wrong. But, yeah. Anyway, he also gave, like, a little spiel on Lewis and how his consistency, like, how he's so consistent. And that's, like, what one of the main things that makes him a good driver. And that was the only thing that was quoted in the media. Nothing else. He said so many, like, interesting things, but...
Poor Valtteri.
Oh, he's starting to podcast.
With who?
I don't know. It's in Finnish.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I'm glad he found an outlet, though.
I agree.
To express himself, because he really doesn't say much.
No, he doesn't. But he seems genuinely very happy and content with his decision.
Other Bottas-related tidbit, he was awarded TikToker of the Year, but by whom?
I think Mercedes.
Okay, yeah, because Lewis doesn't do TikTok.
No, they had two options.
Yeah. Well, he did do really good TikToks.
Yeah.
He should be awarded by F1. Because he is the best of all the drivers.
Yes, you're right. It is facilitated. Like, he doesn't do it himself, yeah. Which I think is fine. But yeah, he's the most active, I think.
He won one award this year.
Yes, it was fucking tiny. It was like the size of a shot glass. I was like, you guys.
What was it supposed to be? A trophy?
Yeah, it was a trophy. It was like a chalice, aww. But like it was tiny, and it said like I had to like zoom in to see best TikToker.
Maybe he can drink espresso out of it.
Oh, that's what the goal was. Don't know.
Okay, that concludes our digital warm-up.
Do-do-do.
On to the track walk. So the track at Qatar was built and completed in 2004 to host the MotoGP, and it's located on the outskirts of Doha. But it's never hosted a Grand Prix for F1 before, so this is the very first year. Since it's a new track for everyone, it might not, like, level the playing field, but in a certain aspect, it kind of levels the playing field in terms of expectations and experience.
Yes, agreed. I really hope everyone did the track walk.
Yeah, even Max should.
Yeah, I have no excuse.
I really think everyone should electric scooter at least.
There was a lot of biking.
Yeah, Charles and Carlos too.
biked around. By the way, sorry. Speaking of biking, was that did you see the picture of Daniel on a bike and like Mattia running towards him?
But I couldn't tell if that is on the McLaren Instagram, and I could not tell if Mattia was photoshopped in.
That's what I thought, but then I saw a different picture where I'm pretty sure that's like IRL. Like, fully actually happening.
So, Mattia finally left Europe? And is in Qatar?
This is not photoshopped. Wait, I'll send you this one. This is, like, fully... I don't know why Qatar deserved his presence and the other... They were doing so well without him.
Or why he's with a McLaren driver on the track.
He's knocking out the competition, clearly.
By foot.
By foot. It is a funny pic. It looks absurd. It truly looks photoshopped.
I guess we'll see more of him this weekend, but that does not bode well for the Ferrari team because they've been doing great lately without him.
Agreed. If you guys are new to the podcast, we have a running conspiracy theory that the presence of certain principles makes a difference. Either positively or negatively. For instance, Mattia's been absent for 3 weeks and Ferrari has soared way ahead of McLaren. But you know who wasn't there? Zach Brown.
Yeah, weirdly, both of these team principals were gone.
Maybe they were together.
No, we have photo evidence of Zach squeezing into tiny cars.
He definitely had assistance with that.
Yeah, but Mattia maybe assisted him in the behind the scenes.
Maybe they just had a joint birthday party.
Oh yeah, they both are around the same age and have the same like birthday week or something.
Yeah, it was like 2 days apart. Yeah. 2 days, 2 years.
We know so much about them.
I know.
It's creepy. They're good ones, though.
They are great ones.
So the LoSalle International Circuit was designed for motorcycle racing.
That's MotoGP.
Oh. KK, learn something new today. So it's 5.4 kilometers, and it's fast and flowy. Are you sure it's not Fast and Furious?
No, it seems a bit gentler than that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Flowy was the adjective used.
Yeah. So there's a lot of medium and high-speed corners, which will be fun. And there's a 1 kilometer straight leading into turn one, which is where most of the overtaking is likely to happen. So get ready for a feisty start.
So since it's designed for motorcycle racing, the curbs are very low, so there might be some issues with track limits. This was a Christian Horner theory, but I think he knows a bit something about track limits. So that should be interesting, as if the FIA didn't have enough to worry about this weekend. They'll have to be tracking track limits. But the MotoGP aspect of it reminded me, I saw a friend a couple weeks ago, and he called us motorheads, which I'm just imagining us with giant motors on our heads. But then he told me about a sport called motor racing on ice, and it's legit. It's like a track made of ice, and motorcycles are racing on it.
Do their tires have a lot of tread?
Don't know. I assume so.
Super hard tires.
Super duper hard.
If you're on slicks on ice, I mean, you can't go. You can't go forward. I don't want to be a motor head.
I refuse this title.
I didn't know motor or moto was for motorcycles, and I'm incredibly anti-motorcycle. Like,
from a safety perspective or from like
from an annoyance.
Aesthetic. Oh, okay.
No, it's like when I hear a gang of vroom, vroom, vroom on the streets, I'm just like, they're so annoying.
I'm just wondering, is Philadelphia known for its biker gangs?
No, but it's in any city. I mean, even when I was in like California, it's just like, they're just always trying to pop wheelies and like go around cars. And it's like, they're showing off, but everyone hates them. You know? I mean, don't you see them in Washington?
I've not seen a motorcycle gang, no. I've seen, like, standalone motorcycles.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Fun fact, my grandfather had a motorcycle in the Soviet Russia, and my mother was on the back of it when she was, like, 7. And they were driving through the snow, and she saw a police car, and 7-year-olds aren't allowed on the back of motorcycles, surprisingly. So she jumped off into a pile of snow.
Oh, wow.
And my grandfather got home and realized she wasn't there. So he had to go back and find the snow pile she had dived into.
Growing up in Soviet Russia was different, huh?
A little bit.
Can't say that was a formative experience that I've shared, but
I too have never jumped off the back of a motorcycle
into a pile of snow and was abandoned
on accident. He returned
for a few hours. Yeah, no, not that. That was a harsh word. She was just forgotten temporarily.
Yeah, it's fine. It's Soviet Russia. Whatever, shit goes down there.
That's why they're so tough.
Yes. Because of the motorcycle jumping. All right.
Anywho.
What to expect?
It's going to be a night race.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I love night races.
We've never seen one in real time.
No, we saw it in Drive to Survive, and I love it there. It's just beautiful. But I guess what I'm thinking of actually is Singapore, which is the most beautiful. So I don't actually know if I like night races in general, but I like that one.
Wasn't Bahrain also at night? Wasn't Grosjean's crash in...
Yes. It was... Grosjean's crash was even more dramatic because the ball of fire exploded in the pitch black night sky.
You're right. If it was daytime, it'd be a lot less traumatic. Predictions. This specifically isn't a prediction, but it is a cool... I'm full of statistics today, by the way. Alonso has had 114 overtakes this year. So my prediction is he's going to overtake again.
It's a good one.
Thank you. He was really unimpressed by that stat when it was told to him. He was like, okay.
So I assume that's the most of all the drivers.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, good for him. But yeah, that's shocking to me because he hasn't been on my radar in a while.
He's overtaken the whole back of the grid, and so it adds up. And then he ends up at like 11, and
Lando says they still have a chance, but they're optimizing the second half of the season.
The Ferrari's optimizing the second half of the season the way McLaren did the first half. So he's not fully confident, but says they still have a chance to beat. That's like the biggest fight, I think, for us to watch. Oh, not the biggest fight. The second biggest fight. The second biggest fight.
I mean, there's only three races left.
They both Christian and Toto said in the press conference today that they want to win the championship on track and not off track, implying like not in the Stu's room. But yes. I feel like for that to happen, they should probably stop complaining to Stu.
We'll see what happens.
Who do you think is going to win?
I would say Max because Lewis just won. And that's just the law of nature.
That was going to be my logic as well. Lewis already did it. It's Max's turn.
I mean, that's just seriously how it's been all season, more or less, other than the randos who pop in.
Esteban, Checo.
Daniel, out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, Daniel, if McLaren wants a chance to beat Ferrari, Daniel seriously needs to score some points.
Yes. At least finish the race, sir. At the very least.
Just finish 10th. Like, once or twice. That would help.
Agreed. Well, once or twice is all he's got left, so...
Oh, hopefully he finishes 10th three times.
Fingers crossed. We believe. I believe in him. If Zach's back, I have full confidence that they will soar to sights hitherto unknown. I guess that's it. Have you eaten yet?
No, I need to go grocery shopping.
I have a somehow long list. Have all of my stuff.
Wow. I have nothing.
Oh, no.
Not even rice? I think I'm going to... No, because it's basmati.
Oh, you only have short grain?
I don't actually have any rice.
Okay. To remind everyone, Hannah is making makhabous. I'm sure I pronounced that correctly.
Rather fancy.
Thank you. It's a kh. Which is chicken and rice, but better than what it sounds like.
It's spruced up.
Yes. Elevated chicken and rice.
Yes.
It's got spice and smokiness and all that good stuff. And I am making balalit, which is sweet noodles with a savory omelet on top. Also better than it sounds.
You think people will cook with us on this one?
I think just as they always do, people will participate. And send us all their food pictures. If you're listening, send us your makhbous and balalit.
Or anything food related.
It doesn't even have to be from Qatar.
No, it could just be a pancake at this point.
Just send us food pictures.
Yes.
And to do that, you have to follow us on social media.
You have to.
You must. I guess that's it. We'll see you guys in Qatar on Sunday. Box, box.
Box, box.